We are welcoming our guest speaker, Willie Hugo Perez. Willie is from Guatemala and has been the director of Samila. I'm not Spanish, so I don't speak it well. From the Latin American and the Baptist Seminary in Guatemala City for the past 11 years. Samila offers pastoral and church leadership training at various levels to the Anabaptist churches in all of Central America and is the parent institution of CASA and the Emmaus Road Guest House. He is a graduate from EMS, Eastern Mennonite Seminary. And the scripture today is, when the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face toward Jerusalem. Blessings to you, Willie.
Good morning, sisters and brothers. It is a pleasure for me to be here in your congregation today. Thank you very much for this time, and I bring greetings to you from my family in Guatemala, from my wife and my sons, and also from the Mennonite Church in Guatemala City, Casa Oreb, in which I am participating during this time. And besides that, I also bring greetings from the Latin American Anabaptist Seminary, SEMIA, the institution in which I am working today. SEMIA is a seminary which provides biblical, theological, and pastoral formation and education for leaders and pastors, men and women, in Mexico and Central America, people who are very involved in the mission, in the ministry of the church, in the midst of the challenges that we are facing in Latin America at this time. Then, greetings for you from my partners from in SEMIA, in Guatemala, and in Central America. I am very happy for being here. I am blessed of being in the house of Janet and Wes, a good friends of mine, and also for the opportunity of being in your community. This is really a nice community. I am very happy for the opportunity for being here, and thank you very much to Brother Randy, the pastor, who give me this opportunity for sharing with you this morning. And I hope from the bottom of my heart that my reflections can be a blessing for you, for your lives, for your families, for your ministry. Well, the topic that I want to share with you this morning is set your face and walk to the fulfillment of your mission. I want to initiate telling this. On one occasion, a young university student asked me, "What can I do? I do not find meaning in my life. I feel like I am floating like in a vacuum. How can I know why God made me? Why I am alive?" This question could be expressed in a variety of ways. Who am I? What is the meaning of my life? Why do I exist? What is my purpose in this world? These are questions that trouble many people and that reflect the existential anguish that has accompanied human beings throughout history. In Luke 9:51, the scriptures say, "When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem." What do these words mean? How do they connect with the existential concerns that I just mentioned? What message do these words have for our lives? The verse that I just quoted is, as we will see, challenging and inspiring. And I will use it to reflect about the meaning of our lives and the importance of living them with purpose and a sense of mission. You know that we live in a very difficult, complex, and critical time. In America, understood as North America and Latin America, and throughout the world, this is a time of profound changes, conflicts, insecurities, and challenges. In many places, such in Latin America, many people suffer under the weight of violence in its various forms. From social injustice, socioeconomic inequality, exclusion, human rights violations, political crisis, corruption, poverty, and human and social sin. And on a global scale, insecurity grows. International tensions worsen. Misery increases. Pollution and environmental destruction increase. There are more frequent natural disasters, and ecological life is in serious danger. And from a religious and ethical standpoint, we are experiencing a crisis of faith that it is manifested in increasing materialism, secularism, moral relativism, idolatry of power and money, individualism, human indifference, and disenchantment with religion. In this reality, there are serious effects and millions of victims. In a world like this, there are those who strive to have possessions, to satisfy their desires for wealth, power, and pleasure, regardless of the methods they use or the consequences, insensitive of the human and social pain. And many others float in a kind of emptiness, without meaning or purpose, submerged in a life of apathy and pessimism, without motivation, indifferent to the suffering of others or to the situation that we are living in this world. Meanwhile, thousands of human beings suffer and die because of violence and injustice, lack of healthcare, education, and shelter, of poverty and hunger, with violation of their rights and lack of opportunities to live life with dignity. Millions of victims, women, children, the indigenous, the poor, and migrants are affected and destroyed by marginalization, abandonment, despair, and suffering. Facing this situation, what do we do? What role should we play in the face of this reality? What can we do to transform it? I think that a large part of our hope and the answer lies in emerging agents of change like you and me. Yes, you and me are or can become those men and women who are capable of looking at and discerning these realities, of showing solidarity with the human social situation, of engaging in the search and promotion of processes of change and transformation. From our living faith, our faithful witness, our clear vocation, our commitment to a profession, our acknowledge gifts and abilities, our voice and our actions, you and I can play a powerful role in the transformation of current realities and the construction of a better society. You and I are the seed from which a new society can sprout, a more just, humane, inclusive, and peaceful world where a dignified and full life is possible for all of people. Therefore, brothers and sisters, it is so important to see and discern this reality, the reality of our world and its challenges. This is an spiritual exercise that makes us sensitive, become aware of, and commit ourselves. It is a spiritual exercise through which we are confronted by some of the great questions that lead us to an encounter with ourselves, with God, with our neighbors, with others, with life, and with the world. A great theologian of the 20th century, Paul Tillich, said that there are two types of questions or concerns in life. There are ultimate questions or concerns and penultimate concerns. The penultimate concerns are those that may contain important issues but are not totally critical. For example, what happens if I lose my job? Well, if I lose my job, I can surely find another one. Or what happens if a tragedy happens and destroys my house? Well, surely with time, I'll be able to rebuild it, or I'll be able to find another place to live. Questions like this are penultimate or secondary concerns. But the ultimate concerns have to do with fundamental questions that we humans ask ourselves. They are those that give meaning, sense, and direction to our lives. For example, who am I? What is the meaning of my life? Why did God create me? What does God expect from me? For what purpose am I in this world? And notice that the term, the answers to these questions are beyond the reach of science. Many times, philosophy, psychology, history, sociology fall short of dealing with these essential life questions. To answer them, we have to use other resources. We have to draw on our imagination, spirituality, humility, faith, prayer, and our personal encounter with Jesus, with the God of life. In this sense, the Christian faith guides us in the search for answers to these questions. Who are we? We are human beings created by God with a clear purpose, to be happy, to bless God, and to bless others. Why were we born? We were born to be agents of life and of blessing, to do good for others, to bless our neighbors, to make a difference in the world in which we live. We are here because God has given us the gift of life. He has given us life meant to be fruitful, which should impel us to be good people or benefit to others of positive presence and impact in this world. Why does God expect from me? How do I know? To know what God expects from me, it is necessary to disengage from this artificial and postmodern culture that traps us, of this hypercommunication that numbs us, of that virtual world to which we can be connected 24 hours a day. To know what God is and what God expects of us, we must go out and look up at the sky, look at the sea, see the mountains, be amazed by a sunset, enjoy the smile of a child, observe how the bees work in harmony. Many times it is enough to contemplate the heavens, to exclaim with amazement like the psalmist, "When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them? Mortals that you care for them. Yet, you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor." In this way, we become aware of the presence of God in our lives, and we find the meaning of our existence. And when we feel the presence of God, we find the purpose of our being. In this, there is something crucial and transcendental. People who find the meaning of life and who live it with purpose are happier than those who live without meaning, or who believe that they are a biological accident, or who think that life is one tragedy after another. Human beings need a sense of purpose and direction, ideals, goals, objectives that point the way and guide our steps. We need a sense of mission. When we discover that sense of mission, when we obtain the certainty that God Himself has given us life and has called us, trained and commissioned us to do something important, then you and I become agents of life and blessing for the people with whom we share life and for the world in which we live. Jesus of Nazareth, who occupies a central place in the history of humanity and in our Christian faith, is precisely this figure because he lived with a great sense of mission and purpose. Since before birth, it was anticipated that this child had to be different. His name, Yeshua, means God saves. He was to be the Messiah sent by God for the salvation, redemption, liberation, and transformation of humanity. When he reached adulthood, after being baptized by John the Baptist, Jesus began and developed a powerful and transforming ministry. He walked through Galilee, Samaria, and Judea, confronting and interacting with human realities and disrupting the religious, sociopolitical, and cultural structures that oppressed people and that did not allow them to live life with dignity and fullness. Jesus dedicated himself to announcing and working to make present the kingdom of God, a kingdom that is life, justice, love, freedom, blessing, and peace. His sense of mission led him to approach and interact with the poor and needy. He blessed children. He blessed the oppressed, the marginalized women, the sick, the migrants, those considered impure because of their religion, those who had no voice in society. His ministry was marked by his attitudes and actions of openness, mercy, kindness, compassion, and restoration for all people. He traveled through many villages and cities, preaching, teaching, and living his message of love, salvation, and liberation to those who suffer under various forms of human, spiritual, structural, religious, or social oppression. Many, mostly the most needy, were touched by his gospel of love in a way that changed their lives. In this way, Jesus initiated a revolutionary and transformative movement that impacted and altered in a radical way history, humanity, and society until this day. And Jesus wants to continue to do this today through you and I, his followers. As expected, his mission and practice put him in danger. The religious leaders saw him as a heretic. He didn't fit into their neat religious boxes. The political military power saw him as subversive and an enemy. From a pragmatic point of view, the best thing he could have done was to withdraw from a public life, return to his village, marry, have a family, and die as an old man, or take advantage of his influence and abilities to obtain personal power, wealth, fortune, fame, and pleasure. but he had a sense of mission. And when you and I have a sense of mission, turning aside from this walk is not possible. Giving up is not an option. Living a life without purpose or goal is not living life with meaning. Abandoning the mission for which we have been called may give us material satisfaction, but it kills the soul. It kills our ideals. It kills our spirit. It is really important that we see how Jesus, when confronted by his life and mission, chose a path to follow without hesitation. His options were to keep going despite the risks and threats, take a detour to avoid the dangers, or give in and return to the heaven. And in spite of the cost, the danger and adversity that he would encounter, Jesus made a choice. He set his face toward Jerusalem and confronted his destiny. He went to that city controlled by his enemies to the final fulfillment of his mission. And the phrase that Luke uses is beautiful and inspiring. Jesus set his face. It evokes courage, determination, commitment to the cause. It denotes the integrity with which Jesus affirmed his mission and his purpose in life. It communicates his firm commitment to the task of announcing and living the gospel of life, love, and salvation in the midst of human realities and needs. It implies the determination with which Jesus embraced the mission of making present the kingdom of God, his justice and his peace in a very difficult world. And through that phrase, Jesus calls us and invites us to seek and discover the purpose of God for us. It challenges us to hear, to listen to the call that God makes to us and to embrace with determination the mission that he has for our lives. Dear sisters and brothers, we are in a world that faces serious problems, serious challenges. But it is here and now that God calls you and me to affirm the purpose of God, to fulfill our mission, and to be agents of life and blessing. There is a strength in you and me to be a beneficial influence and agents of change. Through our active faith, our loving service, our identification with the needy, our work for justice and peace, our commitment to life, in short, our work to make the kingdom of God present, we can be of a transforming force in this world. Therefore, affirm your sense of purpose and mission, and with determination, put into action your best, the best of your knowledge, the best of your skills, energies, and resources in order to build a better world, a world where justice, love, harmony, peace, and life in fullness are possible for all people. And so, I say to you, I ask you with deep love and respect to seek God in a life of prayer, discernment, contemplation, and service. May you seek God to reveal to each of you what is the purpose and mission for which you were brought to this earth. And once you are clear about what that call is and what that purpose is, embrace it with courage, set your face, and walk with determination toward the future, toward the fulfillment of the mission for which God brought you to this world. Let me conclude with a personal memory. Many years ago, in 1975, I lost my father. My father was killed when I was 10 years old. At that time, my family lived in a rural and poor village, and my father was a community leader, a kind of social worker. He was helping the community to organize an agricultural cooperative in order to improve the quality of life of people. Therefore, in a context of war and oppression that we were living in Guatemala, my father was accused of being subversive and communist. And one day, he was kidnapped. He was tortured and killed by the army. That tragedy left my family in a terrible state of sorrow, suffering, and sadness. And several weeks later, one night, after my father was killed, I woke up crying after midnight. The night was very dark, and I felt a terrible sadness inside my heart. But suddenly, someone came to my bed and embraced me. It was my mother. My mother took my hand and she led me out of the house, and we walked up to a small hill near to our home. And then, when we arrived to the top of the hill, we sat down on a rock. Then my mother said to me, "Look at the sky." I looked up, and it was a wonderful night. The stars were shining in the sky, and their bright light was illuminating the mountains and valleys. And my mother embraced me closely and said, "Don't be afraid. The light still shines in the darkness, and it will always shine." And you know, I saw my mother's face, and it was filled with peace. She had peace in the midst of suffering. That experience taught me a lot about life. There are many dark times in this world because of problems, conflicts, and sufferings. But the light of God still shines in the darkness, and it will always shine. And we, the followers of Jesus Christ, are called to participate in the proclamation of that light and hope. As I said, the current situation is complex, difficult, challenging. But you and I are called to be instruments of God with the purpose of making this world a better place. And the followers of Jesus who attend this call and that work in the mission to make present the kingdom of God are lights, are stars that illuminate light and anticipate the bright future that God has promised for the earth. Brothers and sisters, you are people of God, agents of God, and you have a very important mission in the world in which we are living today. It is my prayer, it is my desire that the Spirit of God can accompany your community of faith, your lives today and always, and that you can be always the signs of the kingdom of God in the air in which we are living today. Thank you very much for this time. Many blessings for all of you.